the jurisdiction of a district court can only arise in a probate matter if there's a contest and the case is transferred from the constitutional county court, or it can also arise in those situations in a statutory probate court, because it is possible for a lawyer to ask to have a case in one of these counties that only has a constitutional county court, no county courts at law, to have that case tried in front of a statutory probate court. We have about 15 or so retired judges who will go out and hear those, or they can transfer if a motion hasn't been had over into the district court. And then the district court gets the original jurisdiction over the contest that the county court would have. Once they solve whatever the dispute is, they are to send that case back to the constitutional county court for further administration, for issuance of letters, for other issues that have come up. If down the road there becomes another disputed issue, that court, if they haven't been asked to go to a statutory probate court, can send that back over to the district court for that contest, and then the court will send it back. Now, I will tell you, having those cases sent to the district court has maybe some pluses and minuses. For the county, it may save them to have and to pay for a statutory probate court be assigned over there. However, for a litigator, you may find yourself in a situation where a case is over in the district court and it never comes back to the constitutional county court, whose clerk is the county clerk, and the district clerk is scratching their heads about when someone says, I need letters. We don't issue letters. That's something for the county court to do. And these cases get stuck over there where they don't get shipped back when the contest is over. Some of our district judges don't realize that. Some of our lawyers don't realize that. But once you get the contest over, it needs to go back to the county court so they can issue the letters. Now, in the counties with both a statutory county court, which is a county court at law, and a county judge, constitutional, there will be the county clerk serves those persons. And that even throw a bigger little problem in all this. In some places, it's not doesn't happen very often, there is a clerk that's called the district county clerk. They've consolidated those two people into one job and not having a situation where you have a county clerk and you have a district clerk separate, like we would do in Harris County or Galveston or here in Travis County. So there are 10 statutory probate court counties. There are 244 other counties that don't have statutory probate courts. And I can't go through the list of them right now because it changes from session to session of which ones don't have statutory county courts, which are otherwise known as county courts at law, and which do not. But altogether, I think there's probably not more than 130 counties that have statutory county courts. I don't know the exact number because it fluctuates from time to time. But you can have an independent administration, obviously, in a county court at law. You could have it in the constitutional county court. You could have it in a statutory probate court, but you need to pay attention. You need to be aware not only of the jurisdictional provisions in the Texas Estates Code, but you need to be aware of the government code, because the government code also grants jurisdiction to the county courts, statutory county courts. That's Chapter 25. There are provisions in Chapter 25 about jurisdiction of statutory probate courts. And then there's Chapter 26, which governs the jurisdiction in constitutional county courts. You need to be familiar with that. You need to go look in those situations. If you are litigating outside of a statutory probate court and you want to have the case in front of a statutory probate court, there's a procedure in the estates code that talks about that, but you need to make sure that that's something that you can do by knowing the jurisdiction both in the government code of your county courts, your statutory county courts, your statutory probate courts. You're looking in Chapter 25 of the government code for statutory county courts and statutory probate courts, Chapter 26 for the next group of courts, the constitutional county courts. Now, there are three ways to end up with an independent administration. The easiest and the one we see most common, if we have a lawyer-drafted will in which a lawyer had not made a mistake, is to have a will that says we want an independent administration. We appoint an independent executor naming somebody as executor. There's lots of ways of saying it, but the best way would be to say, I name Joe Smith to be independent executor. You want to waive bond if that's what the testator wants to do. Now, I have seen people, lawyers make the mistake thinking that if it's an independent administration, if you just name an independent executor, bond is automatically waived. That is not the case. Up until recently, I think maybe in 2017, you couldn't even, if the testator said independent administration and didn't discuss bond, you had to have bond unless all executors resigned and you came back then under the provision that would allow you to get an independent executor when none of them are serving. You could get an independent administration with will annexed if all the persons consented to have no bond along with the independent administration. In 2019, that was changed. They put a provision in wherein you don't have to resign in the to get to the no bond situation when someone makes a mistake and just says independent administration and doesn't discuss bond. Now you can approach the court without that resignation process.